Avram Avinu, throughout his life, had to deal with one challenge and difficulty after another. We have a tradition, the Mishnah in Perkei Avos, that Avram faced 10 nisyonos, 10 tests, and each one really was extremely challenging and to the core tested Avram in terms of his faith, his convictions, whether he would continue his mission. From the initial Lech Lecha, from Elastic's Parsha of leaving his homeland and going to this, taking this journey to an unknown place and spreading the teachings of Hashem, the idea of monotheism, to the tests such as the war with the four kings and rescuing Lot, and until you come to this week's Parsha. And we get to the very end of the parsha, which we finally have his final test, and seemingly his most difficult and most painful. But what we don't know about, probably almost for all the tests, and certainly when it comes to this last test, is like what was going through Avram's mind. What was he thinking as he was facing these great challenges and difficulties, and time and time again. Stumbling blocks seeming being placed before him, and having to do things that seemed on the surface to be so unnatural for him. And so when you get to this final test of Lech Lecha, not Me'artzecha, but rather this final test of the Akedah, where he's told Lech Lecha Eretz HaMoriah, to go to land of Moriah and to take as Bincha, and to bring him as an ola, as a sacrifice. So and he does it, right? He listens, and he almost sacrifices his son until the Malach tells him not to stop, and the Malach says that now I know that how you're a God-fearing person, that he's blessed from there moving forward. But again, what was he thinking, and what was his emotions, and did he ever have any doubts? Was he did he ever perhaps question or reconsider, or was he hesitant in terms of any of these challenges that he faced? And again, we don't know. The Torah doesn't tell us, right? We don't know 100%, but perhaps there's one or two clues. So what I want to do is to go back and to look not at Avram, but to look at Lot. We spoke about Lot last week, and we compared Lot to Avram. We spoke about how they, that terrible split that they had, and how Lot potentially would have been the one to carry on the mission of Avram, because Avram and Sarah didn't have any children. And Lot winds up in Sodom. So in this week's parsha, we of course find Lot in Sodom as the city is about to be destroyed. For its sins and its behavior, and these two angels come to Sodom, and part of their job is to rescue Lot. This whole question: why is Lot rescued? Is he rescued simply because he's the nephew of Avram, and in Avram's merit he's rescued, or perhaps there's some redeeming value that he himself has? After all, there's at least two things I think you can point to Lot in terms of in addition to the failure, to the letdown, but at the same time, he did travel with his uncle for so many years, and he went along with Avram. And in addition, he also received in this week's parsha, although not exactly the same like Avram, nonetheless, he does extend some sense of hospitality to his guests. So he, obviously, he does have some redeeming values, and perhaps on that merit alone, he saved. And yet, there's this moment in his rescue where there's a word that the Torah uses, and specifically there's a tradition of the trup, the cantillation that is used, that causes us to pause and to consider what really was going through Lot's mind at the time. And what I'm referring to is in Perek Yud Tes, Pasuk Tes Zion. The two messengers are in the two malachim are in the home, and now the time has arrived for Lot and for the city to be destroyed, and then they need to get out of there. That it's time to escape. That's their last chance. It's the last moment that they have before the city is completely destroyed. It's filled with smoke and fire and ashes. And so the Torah tells us the following. Get up. You don't have time. Get up. Get out of bed. Wake up. Get your wife. Your two daughters that are with you. Because if you don't get out of here quickly, you're gonna be consumed. You're gonna be destroyed along with the rest of the city. And then it uses the following word. The next pasuk tazayin, ayismama, and which is generally translated that he delayed. That there was some delay that took place, and the two malachim, the two angels, ve'achaziku anashim biyodo. So the two angels grab them, right? They grab a hold of him. You can just imagine them like grabbing onto his shoulders, onto his arms, and now they grab him, biyad ishto, biyad shtei nasa. They grab the wife, they grab the daughters. Chamlas Hashem alav yatziu ve'anichu b'michutz le'yar. God has compassion upon him, and he's taken out of the city. What is vayismama? What is this hesitancy? Delaying, uncertain, not moving quick enough. So, and to further the question, almost everyone in Shul pays attention when this word is being read. And even if you're supposed to be paying attention to the entire Torah reading, every single word. But if for any reason you were somehow got distracted or you were spacing out or whatever the case may be, everyone's attention is grabbed when this word, in fact, is read, because this is one of the four places in the Torah, only four places, where you have this most unusual trop, cantillation, this note, the famous shalshalas, which is both up and down three times. And it has like these squiggly lines above it. I'll read it. I'll say it for you. Yismama. Very unusual. Note and the sound that's made, and again, it just grabs your attention. It's so unusual that that we even use that term. So if you look in Rashi, Rashi says, "De lahatzios mono." Why did he hesitate? Because they were grabbing him to leave, and he was trying to save the jewelry, the gold, the silver, the possessions, and he was didn't have such alacrity because he was trying to stuff his pockets before he got out. And so Rashi understands that he's this is basically to demonstrate that he was not so quick to go. Some suggest that it not only was he trying to save his money, but he was perhaps uncertain whether this was the right move. That maybe this wasn't really going to happen, and he was comfortable in Sodom. Right, we learned in last week's parsha. Initially, he settles near Sodom, and eventually, we find him in Sodom. And according to the Drusha, now he's at the gates of Sodom in this week's parsha. And he's become successful there. He's become accepted, and he's not so quick to leave. This is now the environment that he likes, which is extremely painful and sad from our perspective. That how far he has fallen, but and so he's not so certain that he's interested in maybe returning back to Avraham. And in fact, we know that he's not so excited because when he ultimately is rescued, he doesn't want to go back to Avram, and he has to stay in one of the towns that was nearby. Rashi says because he was nervous how he would look if he returned to Avram. He looked like a big tzaddik in Sodom, but next to Avram, he would sort of like the Noach, question. Was Noach, what extent was Noach a tzaddik? And so, Lot looks pretty good in Sodom, but he would look terrible in comparison to Avram. And so, again, here it's an identity question. Like, who am I? And who do I want to be? And am I going to go back to my roots, or this new existence and this new identity, that's who I am. So that's, so you see this hesitancy. And what's interesting is that those who talk about this shalshalas trop, so they point out that perhaps you see a common thread each time the it's used, that it's always in each situation you also see someone who's uncertain as to what to do, that it's a great moral perhaps or ethical or personal struggle that they need to make. The best example of this is the one with Yosef, that Perika Lamed Tes, in further on in Sefer Bereishis, Perika Lamed Tes, Pasuk Ches. This is the point when Yosef is in Egypt, and he's sold as a slave, and he's working for Potiphar, and of course when he all of a sudden, he has that terrible challenge with Potiphar's wife, the Ashes Potiphar, and she's making advances to him. And at that moment, he really has to make a decision in terms of also, is this his new identity? Is he going to abandon the values of his father's household, or the teachings that he was brought up with? Are they going to win the day? He's going to uphold them. He's going to refuse her. And so the Torah uses the word vayima'ein. He refuses her. But again, he uses the shalshalas. And so the Mefarshim point out that, again, that he was perhaps like uncertain. Like, what am I going to do? Am I going to, it was such a difficult challenge that was placed before him. He was pulled in these different directions, and he had to really dig deep and to find, find out his, come out, discover his real core values and be able to harness them at this most difficult and challenging moment. And ultimately he's able to do that. And he refuses her. But again, it's a similar idea. It's that when someone is sort of, looking both ways, trying to, consider, am I going to go this direction? Am I going to go in that direction? Not certain, and really having that struggle. The other two examples where this occurs, and these are not as obvious, these examples, but because of this theme of the shalshalas, the Mefarshim suggest that they are similar cases of people having a major struggle of going either direction. The other one is actually next week's parsha in Chayei Sarah with the Eved Avram, with the servant of Avram, who we assume is Eliezer, in a Perek Chaf Dalad. Pasuk Yud Beis, when he's sent on the mission to find a wife for Yitzchak, and there we are told the following, that he takes the animals with him, and he comes to the well, and asks Hashem for help for assistance. And he says, "Vayomar Hashem, okay, Adoni Avraham, Hakarei na lufanai hayom, vasei chesedim Adoni Avraham." But he asks Hashem for to do kindness for Avraham and help him in his mission. But Vayomar, when he begins his discussion with Hashem, again, it's with that shalshalas. And so, what's the challenge? What's so difficult? He's just doing the mission that he was sent to do, to find a wife. What's the struggle that he has? Again, he's nervous he's going to be successful or not, but what's the two emotions that are pulling him in different directions? And so the commentator suggests that maybe he had a daughter, that maybe he was interested in giving his own daughter to Yitzchak to marry, but he was a Kanani at the end of the day. That was not the instructions. And if he could always go back and tell Avram, "I'm sorry, I wasn't successful. But to tell Avram, I wasn't successful, but I got a great shidduch for Yitzchak. I have my daughter." So he had that internal struggle at that moment. And yet he's able to overcome that and pray to Hashem for for assistance and for guidance and for success and ultimately finding a proper shidduch back at Avram's homeland for Yitzchak. And then finally, fourth example, which perhaps is the most difficult in trying to follow this pattern, is the one that's found actually in Sefer Vayikra, in Parsha Tzav. This is the Miluim during the period when they were dedicating the Mishkan. So if you recall, initially it was Moshe who was serving as Kohen Gadol. Right, it was only on the final day when Aaron was anointed and was the whole ceremony to make him the Kohen Gadol and his sons the Kohanim. Until that point, it was Moshe was serving as a Kohen Gadol. At the very end of the whole process, the whole series of korbanos were brought and offered, and blood was sprinkled, and lots of different aspects of the ceremony. We're told, "Vayishchad vayikach Moshe midamo vayitena tzuch ozen Aaron haminis." He sacrifices the animal. Moshe takes the blood. He plays on the ear of Aaron. He's now appointing Aaron to be the Kohen Gadol. So Vayishchat, as he's doing the sacrifice, that's where you see the shalshalas. Here the Mefarshim suggests that what was the struggle for Moshe? Perhaps Moshe was interested in the job, right? You know, be the Kohen Gadol, right? The high priest. What position is more holy in Judaism, of more critical, more important, to be able to enter, the only person able to enter into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the Holy of Holies. And so perhaps for Moshe, it was a personal struggle, you know, whether or not he was going to be able to give in and allow his brother to take the job in place of him. So if that's the case, if this reading is correct, that whenever you have a shalshalas, it demonstrates hesitancy. It demonstrates someone struggling with two different paths to take, and is uncertain which one to go. And they have to really decide, you know, which way they're ultimately going to do, and they have to overcome a great challenge. So I would think that where would be the most appropriate place for there to be a shalshalas in the entire Torah, if not for the most difficult test that any human being is ever given, which has to be the test at the end of this week's parsha, the one that is given to Avram Avinu to sacrifice his son. And so if you look then, therefore, at the Akedah, the story of the Akedah, when Hashem says, "Vayomer kachnos binchas yitchidcha," right, to take your son, so when the next pasuk says Vayashkem Avraham baboker, he gets up the next morning. So either there should be a shalshalas getting up the next morning, or Vayikach when he says he takes a Yitzchak, he takes a son, or perhaps in this story itself, where we're told that he binds a Yitzchak. And he takes his hand, he's got the knife, and at that point there should be this shalshalas on Avram's part. But you can double, triple check, and I can guarantee you it's not there. So perhaps that suggests that he never doubted, that he was never hesitant, that the entire time he was confident, that as difficult, as painful, as hard as it was, he, with a full heart, he did Hashem's command. So I can end the shiur right now, and I think that could be a good reading. But I want to suggest that there might be a different reading of the shalshalas. That maybe the shalshalas is there not to demonstrate that a person, that they hesitated, and that they were uncertain, but maybe the shalshalas is just the opposite. The shalshalas shows that the person was never hesitated, that they knew exactly what they wanted, that their convictions were clear, that they had clarity at that moment, that they knew what the right thing was to do at that time. And therefore, when Moshe shechs that animal and it's time for the miluim, so he knows that Aaron is the right one. Right? He knows that there's different roles, that he's going to be the leader of the Jewish people in terms of getting him into the land of Israel and leading them through the desert. But there's a separate role that his brother is going to play, and he's proud, he's happy, he's excited, and there's no hesitancy. And when it comes to Eliezer, to doing the mission, that he was fully in, committed, And whatever his master told him to do, Avram told him to do, he was going to fulfill it. And he never doubted, and he never considered the possibility of his daughter or anyone else. But he was confident that he just needed Hashem's help that he should be successful in his mission. And when you had when Yosef, right, the most difficult moment of when he was challenged to the core, at the end of the day he didn't hesitate. He knew what to do. The values of his parents was clear, as the Gemara says, the Yikno Shaviv, his father's image appeared before him, and he with flying colors he passed that test. And when it comes to Lot and Vayismama, so there, from a negative perspective, he was clearly unwilling to go. He was not going to go back to Avram. Maybe he wasn't convinced that the city would be destroyed. That the values of Sodom was he totally transformed, unfortunately, and gave up everything that he lived for so many years, and the journey they had taken initially with his with his uncle and brother-in-law with Avram, and tragically he was on many levels. Perhaps he asked the question: was he deserving of being saved or not? Maybe he wasn't deserving, because his place was in Sodom, and it was only because of Avram's merits. Again, you read the psukim; it seems to imply sounds like that it actually was because of Ados Avram, because of Avram, why he saved, and he was not going to go unless those two angels grabbed him. Had they not grabbed them, he never would have left. And therefore, the Shalshelas does not demonstrate that if someone hesitated, and someone really struggled at the moment, but they were certain of their actions and behavior. Well, if that's the case, now coming back to the story of the Akedah, now maybe I understand why there's no Shalshelas, because maybe Avram really did was uncertain. Maybe he did this with tears in his eyes. Maybe this was the most painful, difficult test, and he struggled the entire way. And the greatness of Avram is that he was still able to do it, that he was still ready to do it. But I want to just suggest, again, either way is possible. It's unclear, but I just want to suggest that I think a takeaway of the second approach is that in our own lives, when we face great tests and challenges, and certainly when it comes to matters of spirituality and religion, and certainly then when it involves family and things get so complex and things are so difficult and we don't know which way to turn, to have that hesitancy and to have that second guessing and to feel the pain and the struggle. Perhaps Avram had that as well. And, if you have the Akedah with Avram doing it without questioning, and so then it's like it's out of our realm. But you can't touch it. It's like supernatural. But if Avram struggled, well, that's something I can latch on to. Right? I can struggle also as well when these great issues and challenges confront me. And and hopefully I can mimic Avram. I can ultimately pass the test, but I shouldn't feel somehow that there's something wrong with me or something lacking within me if I do have doubts along the way. And if I do have difficulties and I do find things very challenging and even painful, and I even have questions and doubts, because perhaps Avram had that as well. And I think it's so glaring. You have these shalshelas, and you have that one in Sefer Vayikra, but you have the other three are in Bereishis, and two are like smack in the middle of the Akedah. One's right before the Akedah, one's after the Akedah. That shalshelas certainly should have been in the Akedah story. The fact that it's not there perhaps paints the picture, allows us to consider maybe the first perspective, that he never doubted, or maybe no, he did have lots of doubts and lots of questions. And the greatness of Avram is that in spite of that, he was able to still fulfill it. And that perhaps is a lesson to us and give us encouragement as we navigate the life and try our best to serve Hashem. Wish everyone a wonderful Shabbos.